you all look so friendly down there and so intimidating from up here. Most of you, you who do know me, know I do much better behind a typewriter than a podium. But in starting out, I do want to say how much I appreciate all of you. I think I have come to realize more than ever before how rich we as Christians are in friendships and relationships. And your prayers and support and encouragement these last 20 months since Bob has been ill, you'll just never know how much they've meant to us. And we do thank God for you. It was our last Saturday morning. Bob awakened at 5 o'clock with 103-degree fever and severe chills and a sick stomach. The doctor had told us long ago that his weakened immune system would intensify the seriousness and the severity of any infection or cold or illness that might hit him. So this time we knew to pack a suitcase before we headed to the hospital. I also knew that I'd have some time there, and I grabbed my clipboard and use the time there to jot down some notes about my testimony to share with you today. It started a long time ago when I was born into an Iowa farm family, the second of what was to be three children. I have a sister who's 6.5 years older and a brother who's 4 years younger. Our parents were Christians, but my mother was the spiritual force in our family. We grew up in the church, were faithful and active, and it had an important part in my life as a child. And when I was young, I accepted Christ in the Daily Vacation Bible School there. And then when I was 15, God gave me real assurance of my salvation, and I committed my life to Him through some special meetings in our church. Following high school graduation, I went to Northwestern Bible School, where I would later meet the Navigators. I knew that, I loved the Lord, and I knew I wanted to serve Him. But it was the life of a friend that I met there who was not in the Word just to do her assignments, but to really get to know the Lord and to grow in Him that attracted me. And I at her invitation, I attended a Navigator rally, then was challenged to begin a program of scripture memory, and a few months later attended my first summer Navigator conference. Summer conferences became a habit for me, but let me say, after that first one, I then moved into a living situation with Pat Nelson, Lovelace now, and Ruth Barnett Myers now. And those were special days of spiritual growth and learning to minister to other girls. And through them, I became more intimately involved with the activities and ministry in the Twin Cities in those days. After attending my first summer conference here at Glen Eyrie, the first summer we had conferences here, which dates me, that fall I received a letter in the mail from Dawson Trotman, inviting me to come out here and work in the office. And I should say that in high school I had taken all the secretarial courses I could. I'd used these skills in part-time jobs while I was going to school. And now for 2 years I had been working, the first year at the school, and then as a junior secretary for a New York life insurance executive. So when I began praying and seeking the Lord's direction about coming out here, He led me through a very remote verse in the Old Testament in my Bible reading. It was in 1 Chronicles 4:23. It's talking about some of the tribe of Judah, and it said, "These were the potters, and those that dwelt among the plants and hedges, there they dwelt with the king for his work." And I realized that I could serve the King of Kings dwelling among the typewriters and office machines. And so I wrote and accepted the invitation. And then I got a letter from Millie. And she said I had met Millie at conferences I'd attended. And she said she'd be in the Twin Cities and I could ride back to Colorado with her. So I did that, not knowing that I'd be working with Millie or that I'd be becoming her sister-in-law in a few years. Let's see here. As I said, my job assignment when I came was as Millie's assistant, and I worked with her for a little over a year and a half. And then I became the first-time secretary for Rod Sargent, and he was the business manager at that time. And during that year is when Bob first came home after 6 years in Germany. Bob reminded me last night or the other day that the first thing Rod said to him was, "Bob, I've lost 2 secretaries to Germany, and I don't intend to lose a third." Irene Camus and Carolyn Peterson had preceded me and had gone as secretaries to Germany with the Servicemen's Ministry. So the morning after our engagement was announced, there was a sign posted on Rod's office door, "Secretaries to Germany Incorporated." Bob had to return to Germany earlier than anticipated, so I followed, and we were married over there in October of 57. In our first term, 2 little red-headed boys joined our family, and after returning for our second term, a matching sister came along. Also that second term, our first co-workers in the German work came, and that was Gordy and Marge Nordstrom, and Don and Martha Miller. Some of you may remember them. So then we moved to Dortmund, and a student ministry was begun at the Ruhr University in Bochum. We returned to the States in 66, spent the first year at the Pasadena Navigator home, and have been here at headquarters ever since. And then shortly after coming here, Karen joined our family, and she's now a senior at the Colorado Springs Christian School. Okay. While Bob was never a health nut, he was always active, he controlled his weight, he worked out, and he kept fit. So when there was an abnormal test that resulted from a January 85 physical, we weren't unduly alarmed initially. But further tests confirmed the doctor's suspicion, and that was multiple myeloma, which is cancer of the bone marrow, the same disease that my father had died from in 52. We thought we were hopeful. It had been caught so early. But God anticipated our needs, and just at that time, he drew my attention in the Living Bible to Psalm 112:1-8, which I've shared with some of you. It says, "Praise the Lord, for all who fear God and trust in him are blessed beyond expression. Yes, happy is the man who delights in doing his commands. Such a man will not be overthrown by evil circumstances. God's constant care of him will make a deep impression on all who see it. He does not fear bad news nor live in dread of what will happen, for he has settled in his mind that Jehovah will take care of him. That is why he's not afraid." And those verses and others the Lord gave us have been a real encouragement in these intervening months. They've held just untold doctor's visits and times in the hospital, x-rays, tests, various treatments, scores of bottles of medication, blood transfusions, and all sorts of things. But God has given us strength from day to day. Bob is weaker and thinner now, but I really believe that we are stronger. And we know and love him more than ever before. There's an abiding peace that we're in his hands, that he's in control, and that nothing is touching us apart from his perfect will. But I don't mean to say by that we're always up, because we're not always up. And there are hard times. And God has met those needs as well. A couple verses that he has given Bob kind of describe those times. And these are also in the Living Bible. "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed and broken. We are perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do, but we don't give up and quit." At 2 Corinthians 4:8. And then Proverbs 20:24, "Since the Lord is directing our steps, Why try to understand everything that happens along the way? So we don't understand, but we have peace that he is in control. A few months ago during the Larry Crabb seminar, I was talking with Dolores Preble, and she was sharing with me that God was had been teaching her that blessings are not necessarily or always prosperity, fruitfulness in the ministry, good health, and so forth, but that anything God sends into our lives that draws us to himself is good. And in that light, we really consider Bob's illness one of God's good gifts. And we have been praying that he would use it to accomplish his purposes in our lives and in our family. And like in that verse I shared before, that God's constant care of us would make a deep impression on all who see it. I think in God's family, the bond that we share, we learn from one another, and the experience of one can benefit many. Just an update on Bob. He was very sick on Saturday, and Saturday night, well, right away they confirmed an infection in his system. His blood pressure was very, very low. And so Saturday night they put him in intensive care, and he was there until Tuesday. Well, since he's been in the hospital, the doctor also told him that the results of a bone marrow tap last week show that the cancer is progressing and that a different, more aggressive treatment will have to be started. But he has been recovering from this recent bout and came home this morning. So he is recovering. Last June, a phrase from Bob Foster's challenge letter, many of you may see that, some of the men in the office get it, and it crossed my desk. And I'd like to close with a quote from that that says, "Trying to improve on God's plan is more pretentious than taking a felt-tip pen and trying to improve on Mona Lisa. Our scribbling would do nothing but ruin the masterpiece. God needs our obedience, not our help. Our trust, not our counsel. He makes the plans. We walk in them by faith."